Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
The title of this talk tonight is On the Beach. On the beach. So the weather tonight is a little wet. It's rainy, a little bit chilly and dark. It is the middle of winter, of course, but just for a moment, imagine that you are on the beach. Imagine that you are walking on the beach. The sun is shining. There are a few clouds slowly moving. The waves of the ocean are very gentle and make a very pleasing sound when they splash on the shore. And the sand is warm on your feet. And you are enjoying a lovely, peaceful day on the beach. And as you're walking, you come across a very large turtle on her back. Her legs are kicking in the air, and she is helpless. She is suffering. So, without thinking about it or analyzing it, you kneel down and you turn over the turtle. And she happily runs down the beach towards the water. And she joins her friends after all of them have laid eggs for the new generation of turtles that will come pretty soon. And you feel good about what you have done. You feel happy that you have been able to help a creature who was in serious trouble. And your reaching out to this turtle was very spontaneous. It was joyful. It was without hesitation. And you didn't analyze it. You didn't say, should I or shouldn't I? You just helped. And this help that you gave the turtle without hesitation was an expression of your inherent compassion. Or in other words, when you reached out to this creature in trouble, it was part of your true nature. And we all have this inherent compassion. But, you know, sometimes it gets blocked. Reaching out to some creature in trouble is very natural for us. It should be very natural. Fundamentally, we want to relieve suffering. When our reaching out is natural and spontaneous, we don't say, oh, it's too much trouble. I don't have time. I'm busy. I can't stop. I have a meeting to go to. Or And when our reaching out is natural, we don't say, oh, it's just a turtle. Because when we say such things, when we think in such a way, when we think of ourselves before we think of the creature who needs us, when we do that, we leave karmic traces on our life. And we leave traces in our world. And when we think and act like that way, we are not being our true self. But we are not always on the beach, you know? We are rarely on the beach. We live in a world of concrete and steel, a world of tall buildings, a world of noise, a world of speed, a world of technology, and a world of stress. And we have adapted our lives to live in this world that we have created. In our everyday life, as we go about our activities and the things we have to do, the things that we have to do, the people we meet, it seems like most everyday lives are okay in the midst of all these modern challenges. Most people we meet do not appear to be on their back. They don't appear to be helpless. Yet, many people's lives are off balance. Many people's lives are on the edge, even if suffering is not apparent. And we know this from our own experience. We know it from our own personal life, and we know it from our relationships with others. So our practice is not limited to reaching out to creatures on their back. In other words, our practice is not limited to reaching out to obvious suffering. Our practice is about always being ready to reach out at any moment without analyzing. And without thinking, there's no need to reach out. Everything is okay. So our practice does not judge the situation in each moment to decide if there is a need or is not a need. Our spiritual practice starts with reaching in. Or in other words, returning to selflessness moment by moment. Our practice is about remaining selfless, not losing sight of our true nature. Our practice is about always remembering who we are. Then we will be able to determine how to be with others and what may be needed in each moment. Sometimes it's simply giving our attention, giving our encouragement, showing our acceptance, and offering our friendship. The people we are with don't have to be on their back for us to express ourselves in this way. When our reaching in is always active, then we are ready to reach out. And this is inherent compassion. And as we know from our practice, as we know from paying attention to the activities of our mind, a distracted mind cannot reach in. There are no doors in the distracted mind, no doors, no windows. There are only walls. When we are on the beach, reaching out is undistracted. Reaching out is spontaneous. But when we are off the beach, our life requires practice to keep alive our reaching in, to keep active our reaching in. In his writing of the Ganjo Koan, Dogen talks about the birds in the sky and the fish in the water in a very poetic way. With images that touch us. And he writes, birds and the fishes are never separated from their element, and their movement does not leave a trace. When we read it, we feel inspired. Inspired by the images presented. And we want our lives to be like that. We want to live that way. Flexible, flowing, moving easily in our environment, and not leaving karmic traces. The fish and the birds do it naturally without trying, and they do it without restriction. And Dogen's poem makes it seem like this is a wonderful expression of the birds and the fishes to move so easily and to move so flowing. And it's wonderful that they don't leave traces. But fish and birds do that naturally because the environments that they move in are flowing and embracing and never leave their natural state. The environment of the fish and the environment of the birds cannot be scarred. There can be no traces. But for humans, our earthly environment may not seem like that. But with our practice, when we see our earthly environment through the eyes of practice, we see that it is inherently like the environment of the birds and the fishes, fundamentally fluid, fundamentally flowing and adapting, although it may not seem that way. Our earthly environment is fundamentally fluid, despite the truth that gravity gives our environment a feeling of solidity and being static. Unlike the birds and the fishes, we human beings alter our environment so that it is easily scarred with tall buildings and freeways and pollution. We humans alter our environment so that we leave traces and we create suffering. But when we see our environment through the eyes of practice, we can appreciate our inherently flowing world, which is our natural state. So our practice enables our mind to be always on the beach, independent of our physical environment. The mind that is always on the beach is the mind of reaching in, which is always ready to reach out. When we reach out to help the turtle, we are empathizing with the turtle. And this empathy we have for this creature and all creatures reflects our capacity to be generous with ourselves. Our generous capacity is inherent. Our practice enables us to keep our inherent capacities awake. To be generous, to reach in and reach out. We are very fortunate to have this practice that enables us to always be on the beach. Thank you. Are there any questions or observations? Oh, hi, May.
Hi, Les. So good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for bringing this word called a capacity. That became my favorite word. Oh my God. Capacity. I remember you delivered this word in your speech on September 4th. No, sorry. It's not. It's my interpretation. You mentioned you made some mistakes and then reminds me of a koan. And then when people ask Hong Zhi, he said, "What's your capacity?" And then that people Hong Zhi answers mistakes. So anyway, thank you for this word. I think that's an enormous gift, capacity. Which reminds me of your speech. Thank you for the space you open for all of us. Thank you.
Can you hear me, Les?
Yes.
So your discussion of the naturalness and spontaneity of compassion in our practice reminds me of a very striking talk that I heard years ago. Actually, it was at the Insight Center in Redwood City. And it was a guest speaker who, this was quite a few years ago, she had been studying at a monastery in Thailand when the horrible earthquake and tsunami hit in Indonesia, Banda Aceh. And she immediately left the monastery. She had some medical training and so forth, and she left the monastery and went to help the victims. There were something like a quarter of a million people who were impacted by that, and many thousands died. And she said something that really struck me. She said she had gotten to the point where she no longer talked about this with non-Buddhists because the non-Buddhists' reaction was invariably, "How could you stand to do that? How could you possibly stand to do that?" And what I think she was getting at was that if you don't see compassion as being just a natural expression of our true nature, then what it really comes from is vicarious suffering. You focus on what it would be like for you to suffer the way these people in front of you are suffering. And after you do that for a while, you feel like you've suffered so much that you just can't stand it anymore. And I was really struck by that, the way that she said that. And I'm curious as to your reaction to that and how that relates to your notion of the spontaneity and naturalness of expressing compassion as just the natural expression of our true nature.
Well, her mind was always on the beach. Always in a beautiful place. Always ready to reach out because she was always reaching in. By going to that monastery, going to that monastery is probably a good indication of her motivation. Her desire to be authentic in life and not be distracted by the things of the world. So she went to the monastery And when she heard that there was suffering, she responded immediately, without thinking. I can imagine her mind, the way you describe her, I can imagine her mind. Oh, she didn't say, what's in it for me? Oh, it will be so difficult to reach those people. Do I have the time? Do I have the money? I have to change my plans. None of those things. I'll bet you that none of those things occurred to her. She just went to help, because to her, that was the most natural thing to do. But like you described, most people would say, oh, what? Are you crazy? Why are you giving yourself such discomfort? You don't even know those people personally, and so on. And so she ignored all that and followed her inherent true nature. Her response to the suffering is a little bit rare, especially these days, I think. But our practice is about trying to make it seem that to reach out like that is not so unusual, that there is no sacrifice. That's a wonderful story, and I thank you for repeating it here for all of us. It's very inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Hey, Les, got a question.
Yes, Dan.
That's my question. Michael. Michael.
Okay.
So, can you give me some tactics? How do you do this if you're suffering yourself and there is a person that you feel is causing suffering for you? How do you be compassionate to the person that's causing you suffering?
That is the most important question for all humanity. How do we do that? When happy lives become lives of suffering because of some action or words of another person. I think when we feel suffering, when we are aware of it, and we want to know how to relieve it and what to do about it and how to behave to the other person, we have to remind ourselves or ask ourselves, maybe for the millionth time, what is the purpose of this limited life? Why am I here? Am I here just to suffer? We have to explore that within ourselves. Why am I here? What is the authentic life? And from this exploration, we can determine how we should be in this moment, even though the moment is uncomfortable, maybe even threatening. It's important to always come back to the wisdom of how we should express this life in every moment. Even in the last few minutes of our life, we should be asking this question. We should remind ourselves, what should I do with each moment? And if we decide, if we understand that we should not let the difficulties of the moment overwhelm us, then we will know what to do and how to respond to the suffering of each moment. But it is, your question describes the most difficult thing for a human when we feel suffering, either inflicted on us by another person or by the natural world. What do we do? What should we do according to our true nature? But like I said, we are fortunate to have this practice that can help us appreciate this question and understand how to respond to it. So in a very practical sense, you know, if we feel suffering and we think we know the source, what we do is return to our practice. Take a deep breath. Breathe deeply. Return to the present moment. Set aside the analytical mind. Don't ask the why, the who, and the how, and the when, and those kinds of things. Don't try to solve the problem. Just return to our inherent quiet self, where compassion exists. That's why I think more and more people are embracing this practice as the way to answer your question. If our lives have been a little difficult, we may say to ourselves, my life is full of suffering. How do I change that? I can't change other people and I can't change the world, but yet I feel abused and put upon. What do I do? So we come to the practice to find out, to learn. And it doesn't help to ask other people, what should I do? Because the answer will be their answer. We have to make that discovery for ourselves. It's the most important discovery we can make. Imagine being a soldier in a war, and it's not going well, and comrades are dying, and there you are in the war. What do you do then? How do we respond to that? How can we live on the beach? The question is a very good koan for each of us to look at. and understand how to respond to that kind of suffering. Thank you.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's KANNONDO.ORG.